You're listening to NativeTalk.net. Audio files are available online at NativeTalk.net.
This is all wrong.
Listening to anything else?
I don't know what it is.
Is like kissing your brother.
It's like I'm kissing my brother.
And now, your hosts, Cliff and Brandon, we're legends in our mother's mind. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.
Good morning and welcome to the NativeTalk.net radio program. We're so glad that you could join us today. Email if you want to be a part of the show, podcast@NativeTalk.net. And of course, you can always make comments through the Facebook page as well. Or you can call and leave us a comment, 970-278-5791. So Brandon looks warm and toasty this morning.
Good morning, everybody out there in internet land. Thank you for joining us. I am freezing. Thank you for noticing.
Didn't you start your fire in your teepee?
No. I haven't upgraded to teepee status yet. I'm still in this lame stick-built phase.
You can build yourself a longhouse. You know, I've heard that's popular.
Yeah, it always worried me about lighting fires inside of wooden structures. I don't know, something in me.
They did it with the teepees. They didn't seem to have an issue back then.
They were pretty skilled at it, I would have to say.
Speaking of that, let's begin with daily life. So, you're a Native American. What is a day in Brandon's life? Let's compare it to the old ways to see how well it matches up.
Oh, y'all need to sit down because this is exhausting. All right, I'm gonna walk you through a daily life of Brandon.
Okay, this is exciting.
Right. Yeah. So everybody, you're gonna be real exhausted after this. So drink lots of fluids. Get yourself ready. Do some leg stretches. All right. On an average day, I might wake up somewhere between 7 a.m. and 11 a.m.
Wow.
Somewhere in that range. And the great thing about having no daily responsibilities, it's my call on when in those hours do I wake up.
Really? Great. Okay. Oh,
so anyway, and then you wake up sometime in the next hour after waking up, go ahead and get a cup of coffee and go to the bathroom. You got an hour to do that. And then pretty much whatever you want the rest of the day.
Wow. That does sound quite exhausting. Okay. Yeah,
yesterday it was a couple of miles of a walk around a state forest with the family, house cleaning, cooking, cleaning, and a little bit of video games and movies.
Well, I mean, that sounds reasonably fun. I like the walk around the state park part of it.
Oh, that was really fun. Yeah. The video games are cool too. You should try that.
Okay. Let us compare that daily life with the life of the Sioux Nation. Do you know much about the Sioux Nation?
They spelled their name with an X. Anyone who does that is awesome.
That's right. And they were a huge nation made up of 7 strong tribes. Now, these tribes were very close, as all good families should be, right? Mm-hmm. They traded with each other, they supported each other, and they worked together. They obeyed the decisions of what they called the 7 Council Fires. And they were generally peaceful. A lot of people, when they hear the Sioux, because you know that they were feared in the Old West, right?
To be honest, a lot of the stories that I've heard and the names I've heard from tribes really start to blend together. Because most of the times in movies, they're presented, I don't know how to say it, like as if all Native nations were one nation, as if it was portrayed almost as if Native nations were like a modern government, that they had like parliament and all sat down and made like nationwide decisions from coast to coast as one entity. Nah, you know, and so there's so many differences between reporting and reality, and there's so many made up stories, and you know what I mean, like I've lost track of what story is supposed to go with what tribe, because I only half believe most of the stuff I hear in public anyway.
Well, I had a very reliable source, old Wild West novels.
Oh, I thought you were gonna go with Wikipedia. Yeah, Louis L'Amour is way better.
Exactly, he is much better. And As if that is to be believed, the Sioux were known as great warriors. However, it may shock you to find out that every single Sioux man was actually not a warrior. One might actually be a good hunter. One might be a good storyteller. But they weren't all warriors.
The way you said it made it sound like there was no Sioux men that were warriors.
No. There was some that were actually good at telling funny stories to cheer people up, like a camp comedian. Somebody else might be the town recorder, whose job was to paint pictures of buffalo hides that aren't, you know, that would tell a story about a battle or a victory. Like, they had a variety of things that they were good at, not all warrioring.
Okay. Did any of them do any podcasting?
If they may not have done that, but they should have. But all Sioux men and women were trained to defend themselves. So, they were known as good warriors, and that was true enough. But the Sioux recognized that life was not all about fighting, and especially not fighting with your neighbor. And there were a lot of things in life that added to its riches. No word on whether or not they played video games or what time they woke up in the morning, but...
That was my next question. Was it 7 or 11, you guys?
The women, of course, were in charge of the camp and the children, as they should be.
And everything, I think, is what you're missing out, leaving out there. They're a matrilineal tribe, right? So they owned, like, everything?
I don't know about that, but I do know that they cooked, as they should have, gathered food, made food, and started the fires. Good job for them. They knew their place.
Yeah, their place was at home, sending all the men out to do the work for them while they got to sit back and reap the benefits without having to do any of that hard crap that they made the dumb men do.
They made clothes. Good for them. They made baskets, and they worked with porcupine quills and beads to decorate the deerskin clothes the tribe wore. Oh, isn't that cute? They did decorating.
Actually, that sounds really awesome. It sounds like they're using the quills as a needle to do the decoration, and that's pretty cool.
One of their other... I agree, it is pretty cool.
It's really cool. Like, could you go ahead and go tie some stomach intestine to a porcupine quill and make something beautiful. That sounds amazing.
It really does. Look, I'm just being a misogynist because it's funny.
For the record, I don't know if it was stomach lining. I made that up. I don't really know.
If it was what?
Stomach intestine that they used as instead of string.
Oh, I didn't even catch that. Yeah, okay.
I'm talking out of my bum. I don't know what the hell.
What of their other major jobs is to make buffalo jerky. Now, of course, you know what that is. It's dried food made from meat, right? They had to... Have you ever heard of pemmican?
No.
Okay. Pemmican... is a food that can last for, no joke, 50 years or more, okay? And it's made today because it can last so long, but it was originated, from what I could determine, from the Native Americans, okay? And so the way you do it, you got to... So you take meat. It can be beef, buffalo, whatever have you, and you separate the fat, so you get nothing but fat, and then you have non-fat meat. You cut all the fat off the meat, okay? Now, that you slice as thin as you can, and you dry it out until it's, like, brittle, like, crunchy. So, like, you think of jerky way beyond that. So you dry it. And then you have to basically pound it into a powder. In today's world, they put it through like a blender or a food processor or something like that. But you want basically meat powder, right? And then you take the fat and you cook it low and slow until the fat melts. And you take like all of the big chunky pieces off the top and stuff like that. But you want like rendered fat. And same thing, dried blueberries, mix that together, let it dry. You got pemmican that will last for 50 years.
Wait. You cook the meat down, and then what you throw? Oh, I'm sorry. You cook the fat down. You throw the meat into the fat.
Well, you mix the melted. They call it rendered. You mix the rendered fat into the meat powder, and to the point where it's like the right consistency. You don't want it to be like soup. You want it to be able to harden and dry, and then you can cut it into pieces, and it lasts. So that's a Native American superfood.
That's amazing.
Right? I haven't tried it yet, but I'm going to.
Yeah, you'll have to do, you should do a little little recording of yourself doing it, and then you can edit it down to just be like 2 or 3 minutes and post that up on the page when you're done.
Dude, honestly, I think I may do that. I've got a
You really should.
Yeah, I think I will. All right. What do you know about the War of Northern Aggression?
Oh, that was when my brother came from the north side of the room and punched me.
No, that unfortunately was the first war that America ever lost.
Wait, hold on. The War of Northern Aggression or the... Oh, Jesus, hell, yes, I know what this is, you racist bastard. You told me this the other week. It was the South's name for the Civil War.
Yeah, those damn Yankees called it the Civil War, but it was truly known as the War of Northern Aggression.
Wow.
Okay. Do you know when the war ended?
When the people that were racist realized they were wrong and peacefully put down their arms.
And everyone was equal forever after.
Right, and there was never any social conflict thereafter.
Exactly. Do you know what year that was?
Imaginary 13.
No. It was the 13th Amendment that that took care of things, but it was 1865.
Sure, I'll go with that.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about that. I brought it up for a reason, and it does have something to do with Native Americans. So we're going to talk about that when we come back in just a moment here on the NativeTalk.net radio podcast.
Hey, could you please call me a taxi?
Okay, you're a taxi.
You're listening to NativeTalk.net. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.
Hi, this is Cliff.
And this is Brandon.
And this is the NativeTalk.net radio podcast. The greatest podcast ever produced.
Whoa, wait a minute. What?
What do you mean?
I'm pretty sure we're not the greatest podcast ever produced. I mean, have you heard of Serial?
No.
Cracked Podcast?
No.
Or Surprisingly Awesome?
No. Okay. The NativeTalk.net radio podcast. The greatest podcast ever produced that I have actually listened to. So visit us online at nativetalk.net and tell your friends to download a few shows because, well, apparently we need it.
Yeah, if you ever want to measure up with podcasts that are actually good, like The Bugle with John Oliver or WTF with Mark Maron or Hardcore History.
Hey, this is Steve with thepeoplesammo.com. Do you enjoy the outdoor sportsman lifestyle? We've got the high quality, reliable ammo you need from home defense rounds to outdoor enjoyment. So check us out at thepeoplesammo.com, where we hold these truths to be self-evident that all ammo is not created equal. Visit thepeoplesammo.com, where you can stock up on the quality rounds you deserve and shoot with confidence. Thepeoplesammo.com.
The NativeTalk.net radio program with Cliff and Brandon.
When the white man discovered this country, Indians were running it. There were no taxes, no debt, and women did all the work. And they thought they could improve on the system? Good job, guys. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.
All right, welcome back to the NativeTalk.net radio program. If you want to call in, drop us a line, 970-278-5791. And, of course, visit us online anytime at NativeTalk.net to download and listen to our past shows. Now, do you do much reading?
Not as much as I used to.
Okay. I've been reading a fantastic new book all about time travel, okay? And I've often wondered what it would be like if you could go back in time with, like, modern stuff. You know, all the time travel, like, shows and movies is all about, like, not messing things up. I'm not like that. I'm like, I want to go back and mess everything up.
Journeyman Project 2, all right?
Okay. And I'm like, wouldn't that be cool to go back to, like, a war and, you know, bring back modern guns? Like, what would happen? Yeah,
Yo, this... I've had this exact fantasy like 100 times over. Every time I stand on a cliff and overlook what I want to be pristine wilderness, but in actuality is just a bunch of houses on top of a hill. Every time I look at that, I'm like, I wonder what it would be like to time travel with like 90 crates of M16s, you know, and just show up in front of a native nation and be like, yo, guys, I got you. Just pull them out. Great. Like, let me show you these real quick. I'm going to pop out of here in a second. I just want to leave these with you.
Yeah. Well, believe it or not, somebody answered that very question. What would happen if a whole bunch of super racists went back in time to the 1860s and supplied the South with a mountain of AK-47s and unlimited ammo?
No. That's the wrong way to go.
I mean, not even like, he didn't even make it hard. Here's unlimited AK-47s and crates and crates and crates of ammo. I'm going to spoil it for you. The South wins.
That's like showing up to Hitler as a teenager and being like, bro, this painting is just not for you. I have a much better idea.
Exactly.
That's so awful.
But it's a funny book. I enjoy it. So anyway, back in the Civil War times...
It doesn't surprise me a mega racist like you enjoys that book.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because that's who I am, a mega racist.
Who did you vote for in the last election? Exactly.
You know what? That's all about the Supreme Court, because I want a good Supreme Court. We may have another pick here very soon. Oh, Ruth Bader Ginsburg is barely hanging on there. Go ahead.
Yeah, dude, please don't. That laughing about that is really crass to find humor in the potential illness and like impending death of somebody. That's not funny. Secondly, she's not dying. She's battled cancer and come back from it multiple times. Beyond that, it is a super sick gut punch to me that any president, I don't care who you are, no president should be able to appoint a third of the nation's Supreme Court in one term. That and to be somebody like Donald Trump, who has made
who has made
a mockery of this office every morning that he tweets out from his porcelain throne. He's making a mockery of the office, threatening violence amongst his followers and just the dumb shit that he says on a constant basis. He gets to pick 3 out of 9 Supreme Court justices. You have got to be kidding me. That's like the most longest lasting legacy of any president, and it's gonna go to him. And to laugh about that, it makes the gut punch even worse.
Look, man, this is honestly one of the reasons why I actually support the idea of a constitutional amendment to which supports Supreme Court term limits, you know, a certain age or a certain period of time or something like that, so that you, because you've got 9 justices, right? And you can have, you can set it up for like 20 years or whatever, so that every, and then stagger it, so that every president gets 2 or something like that, you know what I mean? Rather than making it so political. Because I mean, I joke and I laugh, but I really would prefer if it be equal, you know, instead of having people like kind of plan and do what they're doing, you know. I think it'd be like, better for the country, personally.
I think it was 9 months left in Barack Obama's second term, and they held the Supreme Court seat so that the next president, whoever he or she may be, can decide it. So it's like it just swung so heavily in one direction, and I think that kind of power balance, that it shouldn't shift that rapidly, you know.
I don't disagree with you. I think that the point and the reason why the founding fathers, who I respect very much, designed the system, they didn't want it to be political. The courts are not supposed to be political. And in the fact that it has become that, I think, is contrary to what they wanted and desired.
And which was to kill all Native Americans.
I don't think that's what they planned. You're taking all the fun out of my jokes, Brandon. we're talking about the War of Northern Aggression, and then you started talking about, you know, something crass.
Oh, how dare I?
Anyway, one of the things that I mentioned pemmican earlier. Do you know what this is?
Pop-Tart.
No, this is what is known as hard tack. Okay.
Oh, okay.
I actually made this. This stuff will last 50 years easily, just as well.
Oh my God. For those of you who can't look into your telephone or whatever listening device you're hearing this program on, Clifton's little daughter just grabbed this 50-year-old hard tack out of his hand and put it in her mouth.
It's meant to be eaten, but all
and
it is.
Just chew it on it.
Okay. All it is, though, is flour, salt, and water. That's it. You mix it up, bake it 30 minutes each side. You put little holes in it, and it, because it has no moisture, you can pack it up. This is what seafarers, pirates, and you know, and explorers would travel the ocean on this stuff, and they could be out at sea for months or even years and never have to resupply because they could have, they got their rum, they got their hard tack, they're good to go.
That's food and water if I've ever heard it.
Okay. Anyway, the reason why I bring all this stuff up is because the 13th Amendment did what? What did it do?
Hurt the hand of the guy writing it because it was so long.
Okay. That was Abraham Lincoln. Who freed the slaves in 1865.
And 7 years ago, I started writing this paragraph. It's a quill and ink. It takes much longer than your ballpoint pens of the future.
Well, just a few weeks ago, marked the 153rd anniversary of the ratification of the 13th Amendment. And while most people remember that as freeing all the black folks enslaved within the boundaries of the modern-day United States, that is not true. Because do you know who else held slaves besides Southerners?
George Washington. Thomas Jefferson.
Well, yes, but I'm talking about in 1865.
James Henry Polk.
No, okay? It was Native Americans, you dork.
Oh, I didn't even know that they knew black people.
Yeah, as a matter of fact,
Clifton.
What?
Clifton, that's where you're supposed to correct me and tell me that not all slaves were African American.
Wait, what?
That's where you're supposed to correct me and tell me that not all slaves were African American.
Oh, I didn't hear you say that, honestly. Hey, I just decided I'll roll with it. Okay, the Indian people, the indigenous people of North America, had utilized a form of captive taking and involuntary labor way before the Europeans even came to the country. Okay?
Yep.
The difference, however, before the European ways, was this form of bondage was neither transgenerational, which means that, like, you know, your kids and their kids and their kids were slaves, didn't happen, okay? And neither was it permanent. They would take slaves, most often, to replace a dead one within the family with a new person, okay? And then the slave would take on the dead person's labor jobs. You know, if he was like a baker, hey, slave, you're going to need to bake. And because this is usually a dead family member, they would also take on the sexual capacities. So if your husband dies, you go, hey, slave, this is your job now as well. And they go, okay. And then through hard work, good bedroom performance, military service, the slaves could actually enhance their status or even assume new identities. So they could, like, become a true part of the family, okay? Yay! However, after European contact in the 1500s, they go, hey, we might have a new way of doing things. And the members of the five civilized Native American nations, the Cherokee, Chickasaw, Choctaw, Creek, and Seminole nations, decided it might be a good thing for them to begin owning black slaves. What's the problem with that, right?
Right. What could possibly go wrong?
And they decided that, you know, these Europeans, they might have something going on here. This is why the Europeans at the time called them the five civilized tribes.
Because, oh, so you had to be racist to be civilized. That makes sense.
At the time, yes. They adopted the European style of dress, their governmental structure, and, of course, enslaving black men and women as domestic and agricultural laborers. For example, Chickasaw planters exported 1,000 bales of cotton in just the year 1830, which was picked and processed almost exclusively by black slaves. Comparatively, in 1826, Georgia did 150,000 bales of cotton. So, you know, they weren't you can't match Georgia, but they were still doing it on a smaller scale. You know what I mean?
Well, plus it's hay and cotton, so I'm sure there's got to be some differences there too. I've never actually gone out. You might be surprised with my 11 o'clock wake up time and my full day of video games that I haven't actually gone out and picked cotton or baled hay before. But I would imagine they're probably
you haven't.
I know.
Dude, you're missing out.
I'm glad you're sitting down so that you didn't fall from that revelation. But, you know, I'd imagine that there's probably one's harder than the other, right? If it's only 1,000 bales of hay versus 150,000 bales of cotton.
Yeah, look, it's the difference it's the difference between numbers here. Because the Cherokee Nation owned 2,500 slaves, or 15% of their total population. Choctaw was at 14% of their population. Creek was at 10%. You know, so, I mean, they were a good percentage of their folks there. You know what I mean? So they're only producing 1,000 bales of hay, but they weren't like an entire state based on that industry. You know what I mean?
I just love Clifton. He's like, 10% slavery? Yeah, that's a good population. That makes me feel happy inside.
I didn't mean on a positive note, Brandon.
I wish I could get up to 10%. I'm only down at like 5 or 6. My basement's getting full, too. I'm going to have to upgrade soon.
Oh, my God. All right. So
I'm going to have to get a slave just to clean up the basement. Woof.
So when the 13th Amendment was passed, the and black slaves throughout the entire United States were freed. Well, these five tribes were actually outside the territorial boundaries of United States in a region known then as Indian Territory, which is modern day Oklahoma. And so they go, guess what? We're not affected by constitutional amendments. We're going to keep on doing what we were doing. And they started buying, think about it. The Civil War is over. Everybody's free. And they go, hey, those Indian nations are now buying a lot of more slaves. And so they could sell their newly freed slaves right back into slavery. Until the United States had to make separate treaties between the United States and each of the Native American nations to finally free enslaved people, but also to formally end the Civil War battles, because guess what? The Native Americans didn't stop fighting when the North stopped fighting the South, because they were still fighting to continue their slave industry. They did not want to end it. So what do you think about that?
Well, I should really embrace, you know, the indigenous people of America and start hanging Confederate flags in my room, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah, for quite a while after the Civil War ended, the five tribes, well, throughout the conflict, they involved themselves very heavily to preserve their practice of slavery and to continue fighting for political autonomy. So the South seceded and the Native Americans were like, we're already not a part of you guys. We don't want to listen to you. All right. And we're going to maintain that. members of all tribal nations served on both the Union and Confederate sides of the war. And the number of battles that took place within Indian territory were significant. After the war, the treaty signed between the U.S. and all five of slaveholding Native American nations, called the Treaties of 1866, ended wartime hostilities and freed black people. Now, what do you think happened to them afterwards?
they were immediately given all of their rights and freedoms, and everyone lived happily ever after.
Believe it or not, that is pretty close. As a matter of fact,
No, it's not.
Well, okay. That was the idea, okay? There's a big difference between a good idea and, like, the reality, okay?
Yeah.
Because through the treaties of 1866, the five tribes, Cherokee, Creek, Seminole, and Choctaw, actually became true and legal tribal citizens, okay? With all the rights of the other tribes. Now, that's not a bad thing, right? Hey, well, you've lived among us. You can be full tribal members.
That's kind of a long discussion. Google the term freedman, F-R-E-E-D-M-A-N, and, and bring that up into the next show. It actually caused a lot of trouble, too.
Yeah, well, that's why it was shortly thereafter the five tribes rescinded tribal membership of all the freed people and their descendants. They said, hey, you may have lived among us for generations, sharing land, history, and our trauma, but yeah, you have no Native ancestry, and so you're out. However, in August of 2017, just a little over a year and a half ago, the descendants of the people enslaved by the Cherokee Nation were victorious in gaining their tribal citizenship rights back. And the descendants, the black descendants of people enslaved by the Creek Nation, have filed a similar suit, hoping to find the same thing. So, they are tribal members yet again.
Sorry, I'm just laughing at your baby's background music.
It's the way it goes early in the morning when they're trying to do something. I'm sure this will shock you, but the 1.5-year-old and the 3-year-old tend to have disagreements, and they like to, you know, fight and stuff.
I never would have imagined that.
And I'm like, can't you guys just get along? And they keep coming in and pop, I can't get Peppa Pig to work. I want to watch Pirates, Captain Hook.
Take care of yourself, young child.
Right? What's wrong with them? You're 3 and 1.5. That'll be damn near living on their own by now.
Yeah, you should already be prepping your taxes for the upcoming season.
No joke.
Peppa Pig and diapers.
Anyway, I thought that would be interesting to all you folks. If you have any funny Ruth Bader Ginsburg memes to send us, you can do that at facebook.com/Native Talk Radio. Or if you have comments about the guns of the South and the South receiving mountains of AK-47s, you can also do that.
Is that what that book is called? The Guns of the South?
Yes.
Yeah, put that on your summer reading list, everyone.
All right. We'll see you guys next week.
Material.
Thanks for joining us.
Like that? And you're like, oh, it's so good. I love it. I just want to read more.
We'll talk about that next week. See you guys.
The NativeTalk.net radio program with Cliff and Brandon.
A child of five could understand our show. Quick, someone get me a child of five. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.